Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Good morning. Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you today. I think we're online too, right? Maybe not. Yeah, but that don't matter. Hey, listen, anytime you come in and things don't go your way, it's going to be a great day in the church house, because that means at some point God's going to step in and take over, okay? Because it's His house, it's His internet, it's His live stream, it's His microphone, so He'll take care of it. He'll get out what He wants out today, so we're great with it. Miss Amanda, I love that. I'm with you. There's nothing like hearing one body in one accord, okay? There's nothing like that. I absolutely love hearing one body and one accord singing. So that is so powerful, and we appreciate it. It is me again today, Margaret. I'm the one preaching today. We are so thankful that David and his family got a chance to go on vacation. I think they tried a couple times this year, and it didn't work out. So we're always thankful when he gets to do that. Always thankful. I want you to know this. Every person's called for something different, and I was certainly called to be a youth pastor and to do what I do. It's very humbling for me, and it's very sacred for me to get to come up here and preach the Word of God. I don't feel like I deserve to get to do that, but it's an amazing honor to get to do it. So anytime I get to do it, I love it, and I'm just going to give you what God's got that He gave me today, and I'm excited about it. I'm actually really, really excited about what He's got for me today. We're going to be, if you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, and we're going to go down through 16. Let's stand as we read the Word. And these are, I'm going to assume these are pretty familiar verses to folks. Even if the verses are not familiar, the word leprosy is familiar. I think most of us have heard the word leprosy. Brother Tim Russell actually called me when I had COVID and said that I had to hang a sign out in my tree, in the front yard. But we're going to look into this today. Starting in verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. And just as we sang, we invite your Holy Spirit in here today. We invite your Spirit to go from wall to wall, to floor to ceiling, from toe to head of each person that's in here. Use me today, God, to preach your Word. God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of where I failed you, God. That is the only way that I can take this stand today, is to know that you are in charge, God, that you are the one who come up with this sermon. You are the one whose words will be spoken here today, God. We love you. We thank you. We ask you to continue to take care of Brother David as he travels. Lord God, we've got a lot sick around us. There's so many that have COVID and other issues going on. We've had close ones to us that have passed, God, and we need you right now. We need you. Our world is upside down, God, but we know you're not upside down. We know you're exactly where you are. We know you're exactly who you said you were going to be, and we're going to call upon that today. We're going to preach that, we're going to believe that, and we're going to accept that today, God. We thank you and we love you, and these things we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. So we find Jesus right here. We see this man with leprosy that come up and wants to be healed. And how did we get here? Jesus is born. He's born of a virgin. He grows up. And fortunately for us, he came into this world the same way we came. He had to live the same way we did. He grows up as a boy. They go to the feast. He hangs back, and his mom finds him teaching after she lost him. And then he gets baptized. John baptizes Jesus with water. You know, we see those beautiful words where John says, "There's one, I will baptize you with water, but there's one coming that's going to baptize you with the Spirit." And John baptizes Jesus, and we see the Holy Spirit descend as a dove. And then we see Jesus get tempted. He gets tempted. He goes out into the wilderness. The devil tempts him. And then he starts his ministry. And he's going around. He's going across the land, and he's preaching. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's doing what Jesus does. And then he goes up on the mount. Now, these verses that we just read, the man full of leprosy, we find this in three of the Gospels. We find it here in Luke. We find it in Matthew, and we find it in Mark. Okay, now in Matthew, Jesus has just completed the Sermon on the Mount, and he's come off the mount, and he's rested, and it says there he enters into a city. We see here, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city. That city is believed to be Capernaum. Now, I don't know why they don't say that. I don't know why the writers of these Gospels does not say that. I don't know if he's holding back for the city's sake, but He's full-blown into his ministry here, okay? He's preaching stuff that they've never heard. He's saying stuff that is just not right for the day. But the other thing he's doing, he's healing people. And he's seeing this. And this, so we find this man with leprosy. And he comes up. And this man comes across and he sees Jesus. So he's right here in the middle of his ministry, and this man comes out. And the first thing I want us to look at today is the condition of this man, okay? I want us to look at the condition of this man with leprosy. It says, "Behold, a man full of leprosy." When I began to study these verses and get ready for this, has anybody here ever read the book of Leviticus? Okay, has anybody ever read the book of Leviticus all the way through? It's a tough book to read, okay? I mean, there's a lot in it. There's a lot of rules. And I thought, well, if I'm going to figure out and preach about this man of leprosy, I need to learn a little more about leprosy in that time. And I began to look what it meant to be a man full of leprosy. And I love my sermon notes here in my Bible. Now, I want to read that. To begin with, leprosy. Seven forms of this skin disease. So leprosy was a skin disease, and there were several different forms of it. And it would be raised on the skin, okay? And you could tell, and it would turn the skin different colors, and it would turn the hair on the skin different colors. And you had to determine whether it was above the skin or below the skin, okay? You had to be able to tell whether the infection had gotten down into the skin. Seven forms of this skin disease, generally regarded not to be leprosy, were known today. A leper was ceremonially unclean to live outside the towns and had to cry unclean when other people came near. Leprosy serves as an illustration of sin. Man, that hit me hard when I began to think about the condition of this man. But did anybody hear those rules? I went and read Leviticus 13. If you get time, go read it. Leviticus chapters 13, 14. We're not going to read Leviticus chapters 13, 14. Because one, we got to go to lunch later. And two, I don't want everybody to get up and leave on me, okay? So we're going to overview it, okay? We're just going to overview it. We're going to paraphrase it, all right? So I went and started looking at what this man full of leprosy had to deal with. He was literally an outcast. Because he had been infected with leprosy, he was literally an outcast. Me and you were sinners. We're full of sin. And until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are an outcast, okay? When Brother Tim's going up to pray with a man, if that man doesn't know Jesus Christ, he ain't going to know what Brother Tim's getting at because the Spirit has not been in him yet. He's an outcast at that point, okay? That's a representation. That leprosy is the same representation of us. Also, after we get saved, if we start to go the wrong direction and our life is eat up with sin and we've let the devil get us off course, we can feel like an outcast. Have you ever walked into a sanctuary and you hadn't been where you need to be with the Lord, and it's hard to walk in? Why? Because you know that preacher's going to preach something that day that's going to convict you. You ever been there? Man, I've been there. You ever walked in the sanctuary like this? Maybe if I just go in real easy, God won't see me. You know, he won't remember what I did on Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You know, maybe if I just ease over to the corner, okay? We're the same way. We're the same way as this man a lot of times in our lives. But I can't imagine what it been like to have leprosy in that day. When I did have COVID the other day, I had one small experience kind of like this man. I happened to be out on the porch because we were all home. We were all home, all of us. And the one that normally takes care of us was sick. So I had to do that. Spent a lot of time on the porch that week, a couple weeks, okay? I was out on the porch, a UPS driver showed up. He got out of the truck, and you know, if you're there and the UPS driver shows up, typically they'll, hey, how you doing? How's your route going? Yada, yada. You know, I had to proclaim to him real quick, hey, whoa, hey, I got the COVID in the house. COVID, you know, stop, whoa! Just set the packages down and slowly get back into the truck, okay? Just ease back in there, okay? Just leave it laying right there. Now, I have a wife and four daughters. He said, sir, there's multiple packages, okay? I said, I know. Yeah, I know. But I can't imagine what I want to look real quick. I want to go back here to really get the condition of this man. I want us to look, and I want to read the note here in Leviticus. The plight of the leper was pitiable. He exhibited signs of mourning by tearing his clothes, having his head bare, better hair shaven, and covering the lower part of his face, upper lip, by throwing the skirt of his garment over. He warned people of his approach by crying unclean and lived outside the city. Can you imagine having to live that life? Can you imagine being that person? Can you imagine what came of that? I mean, what if we told you today, you've got leprosy, so you're going to have to go outside the town, you're going to have to live by yourself, and by chance somebody ever does come around you, when they get in a certain distance where they can hear you, you have to start hollering, unclean, unclean, unclean. It doesn't say, but I predict that this man had some things that came along with that. Depression, anxiety. I mean, at some point, he probably threw his hands up and said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this. You know? I mean, I can't imagine all the other ailments that came to him that were produced by having to live by himself outside the town and holler unclean every time somebody walked up to him. I can't imagine what happened to his body other than the leprosy. I mean, what a condition this man must have been in. That separation. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I was in the house for 20-something days the way it fell for us. And y'all know I love to talk and I love to socialize. That is who I am. I had a lot of anxiety over that. That I wasn't getting to go out into the world and do what Scotty does and come over here to the church house. And I love getting to listen to the online version, but it's nothing like getting to come in here and see you all and sit up here where I sat. I had a lot of anxiety over that. Okay? There was nothing. I mean, I called Tim Russell and David and said, check with me at midnight on the day I'm allowed to get out. I think I'm going to the huddle house at midnight, okay? I was ready to go, all right? So think about living a whole life like that. Wow. Wow. So now think about this. Think about that person that is out in the world right now that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's separated from God. What's one of the biggest things you hear now when we all, you know, as Christians, we watch the news or we look on social media and we see what's happening in the world, and then we get together. And as Christians, here's one thing we say to each other. How in the world do people make it that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? How do you watch the audacity of what goes on in our world today and wonder how in the world somebody could get up and put their feet on the ground every morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Where in the world would their hope be at? Because if your hope is in Twitter, or your hope is in Facebook, or your hope is in the man or the woman that's leading our governments and all that, if that's all your hope is in, you had a bad week last week. I can't imagine being separated from God, but you know, sin separates us. Just like the disease of leprosy separated that man, sin separates us from God. So even though we don't have leprosy, we can be where this man is. You ever felt like an outcast before? I know I have socially, okay? When you're bald and round, you don't fit into every group, okay? All right? I'm not necessarily going to fit in with the Hollywood types, okay? Although there is one commercial out there. It's a medicine commercial. And there is a guy who has a hairdo just like mine. And he's shooting a basketball, and if you slow it down as the commercial goes, he looks just like me, okay? But I do believe it's for heart medication. So I made the heart medication commercial, okay? At least I made one of them, all right? You ever felt like an outcast? You ever not fit in? You ever been the awkward person in the group? You ever been the person that when you walk up, everybody quits talking? How's that feel? Doesn't feel good, does it? Doesn't feel good. You ever been separated from God because of your sin? I have. I've felt like that man before. Unfortunately, I felt like him many times, okay? So when we look at the condition, and if you go to Leviticus 13 and 14. So it says what has to happen. If you have the leprosy, you have to go before the priest. The priest determines if that version of leprosy is still up on the skin or if it's went into the skin. And then he determines whether you're clean or you're unclean. And then he sends you, if you're unclean, he tells you what you have to do. If there's a chance that he thinks it's going to get better, then he tells you how many days you have to stay in your house, and then you can come back to the priest. But until the priest of God, through God, Moses and Aaron until Aaron says, you're clean, then you have to live the life that this guy does. What a miserable condition it must have been. What a miserable condition is that a lot of people are in this world. What a miserable condition we can be in when we're separated from God by our sin. Now, so you're telling me I can lose my salvation, Pastor? Nope. No, I'm not telling you you can lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God, and you can't be unsaved, okay? We stand on that at Richards Cove Baptist Church. We'll believe it till the day we die. You only get saved once, okay? When Jesus Christ comes to you and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. Does that mean that you always live for Christ, though? No. No. And when we're not living for Christ and we're not putting Him first, so you're telling me you're a preacher and you have sin in your life? Yes, I do. I'm a human. You're a human. And you know what the devil does? He tries to distract us. He tries to get us off the mark. He tries to get us separated from God. Hey, keep your salvation. That's what he said. Keep your salvation. Go over there on Sunday. Go over there on Wednesday, okay? All right, pray when it's time to pray. But here's what I need you to do. As soon as you leave, I need you to get enthralled in what's going on in the world. Then I need you to take, hey, do all that other stuff. But then all of a sudden, things start creeping into our lives, and we're looking at things we shouldn't look, and we're getting into things we shouldn't get. And all of a sudden, we're separated from God. And you know what? We're exactly where that man with leprosy is. And we have anxiety. And we have depression. And we feel horrible. Okay? Because we're living one way on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And then we're coming into the church house, and David Ayers is wearing our ears out. Okay? All right? You know, I love it when people say, that. Yeah, what'd you think about the sermon? I think he was preaching to me. Yeah, you ever been? Yeah, I think he was looking to the left, but I'm pretty sure, even though he was like that. Okay, I think he was like, no, he wasn't preaching to you. No, that's God preaching to you. So this condition was horrible. But now I want us to look at this. Behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face. Now I want us to look at this. That man had a choice. That man had a choice. The law of the land said that he had to live outside the city limits, that he had to cry unclean. Okay, there was all these things attached to it. He's miserable. He's got all this that comes along with being separated from life. And so he sees Jesus. Listen to this. He sees Jesus. And he has a choice to make. He has a choice to make. The world says, you need to be here. This is how things are going to go. Twitter says, these are the rules. Facebook says, these are the rules. The commentary on Snapchat says, if you got these three things, this is how this is going to go. The lady that sits beside you at work has 17 opinions on what you need to do to fix it. The lady on the other side of you has 19 opinions on what you need to do to fix it. She'll share all 19 of them with you, okay? All right? Everybody can tell you in the world what you need to do. But he's seen Jesus. And he had to make a decision because he wasn't supposed to go up to anyone. He wasn't supposed to walk this close to Brother Al, okay? He wasn't supposed to get all the way to Paul Bell's, all right? Without saying, I'm unclean, because Paul would have went that way. No, he was supposed to stay up here, okay? He was supposed to stay up here. He was supposed to be sick. He was supposed to be that way. That was his plot in life. And then he saw Jesus. And you know what he had to do then? He had to make a decision. If you ever want it, you holler at me. Peter, or what's the guy over there at the elevation? Stephen Fusick. He's got a great sermon on this, and I've got a copy of the DVD if you ever want to see it. I showed it to the youth one time over at Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Did a great sermon on this. But so here I am, and I can't go see Al, and I can't go see Paul, okay? But I see Jesus, and I have to make a decision. I don't know what Jesus will say if I come up to him. I mean, think about my condition. Would Jesus accept me in my condition? You know how many people didn't go to church this morning? I want you to hear this too. You know how many people didn't go to church this morning because they believed they were too bad to go to church? There's a lot of people that got up this morning and felt the Holy Spirit telling them to go to church, and then the devil started saying, how can you go to church if you've done this, 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 and this? And you know what they do? They lay back down and they don't go to church. Can you imagine what this man was thinking? What if he doesn't accept me? What if I get in trouble for going there and asking him to cleanse me? So you know what it took on his part? He had to make a decision. He was either going to live the way he was the rest of his life, or he was going to have the courage and the faith to do something about it, seeing Jesus. I would tell you he's going to take a chance, but you know what? When you go to Jesus, it's not a chance, okay? You ain't taking a chance when you go to see Jesus. It's a home run. It's a done deal. You can put it in the bank, okay? It's not like playing the lottery, all right? When you go to see Jesus, you know what you're going to get, all right? And he had to make a decision, and he had to have the courage. 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind, is what that verse says. Gird up the loins of your mind and hope for the grace. He was either going to sit there the rest of his life like he was in misery in that condition, or he was going to have the courage to get up when he's seen Jesus and do something about it. Joshua chapter 1 through 9, we see three times God tells Joshua what? Be of great courage. Okay? Be of great courage, Joshua. Why did he tell Joshua to be of great courage three times? Because he knew he was sending Joshua to do something that a man couldn't do. He was sending him into a land to conquer that a man couldn't conquer. Okay? That God was going to have to conquer. So he said, you be of good courage. Don't be afraid. This man had to be of great courage to do this. I want us to look right here. Look right on with me because we're already there. Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to him. Right there. If you underline things, underline that, please. The power of the Lord was present to heal him. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find the way, they might bring him in because of the multitude. Right there, let's stop for just a second. How many times have we seen Jesus in our life and we know he's got the power to do something? The devil puts an obstacle in our way, and what do? We quit. We stop. And we stay in the state that we're in. Whatever state that may be. We stay there. We choose to stay there. We choose to stay in that state. No, we don't, Brother Scotty. You don't know how bad my life is, okay? I may not have your same life, but I've got problems in my life just like you've got problems in your life, okay? I got to choose how I'm going to be every morning when I get up. So it says here, they couldn't get into the place for Jesus to heal this man. They went upon the housetop. Now, listen how crazy this is, okay? And let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They couldn't get in the door because there's so many people there to see Jesus. By the way, wouldn't it be great to show up to a church house? Oh, can you think about this? Wouldn't it be great to show up to a church house and there'd be so many people in there trying to see Jesus that you couldn't get in the door? Boy, we're a long way from that, ain't we? They did not settle for the state they were in. They knew Jesus could do something about their friend. They just knew if they could just get to Jesus, if they could just get a hold of him, if they could just find a way to get him in there, that Jesus would heal him. So you know what? They didn't stop when they couldn't get in the front door. They didn't stop when they couldn't get in the back door. They didn't stop when they couldn't get in the side window. They went all the way to the roof and lowered him down. They made a decision that day that this is going to get their friend to Jesus. They weren't going to let the world dictate to them who they were going to be. And they did it. And they did it, and they lowered him. And listen to what it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Wow. Wow. This man full of leprosy made a decision. He made a decision to have the courage to step out in faith, believing that Jesus was going to take care of him, okay? He made that decision and he stepped. Now let's look at how he approached Jesus, because we need to approach Jesus the same way he did. So let's look first. Yes, I do have notes today. I don't always have notes, so I'm trying to follow them a little bit. So let's look. But hold a minute. Who's seen Jesus fell on his face. First, who's seen Jesus? He sought Jesus. He didn't seek the world's answer, okay? He sought Jesus. He sought the one who could do it. He sought the one who could help him. So, behold, a man full of leprosy who seen fell on his face. Let's look at that. Fell on his face. So, he sought after Jesus. And then when he got to Jesus, he declared who Jesus was, okay? He didn't just think of Jesus as somebody on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. He put Jesus where he got on his face. Because you know what? He was letting Jesus know, I know who you are. I acknowledge who you are. You're bigger than mankind, okay? You're the one. You're the Son of Man. You're the one who's been sent as a salvation for all of us. He acknowledged him. Okay? And the Lord's Prayer, how does it start out? What? Hallowed be thy name. Put Jesus above everything else. He fell on his face. He acknowledged who Christ was. Okay? Third, all right, and besought him, saying, Lord, all right, he besought him. He desired to be clean. He besought the Lord. He had had enough. Okay? He had had enough. And he besought to be clean. He wanted to be clean. He didn't want to be in this state any longer. All right? He wanted his life to be different. All right? Fourth thing. Oh, this is a big one. If thou wilt. If thou wilt. He believed Jesus could heal him. If thou wilt. You know what? How many times have you talked yourself out of praying something? You ever talked yourself out of praying something going, well, I know God can do that, but, you know, do I really need to ask God for that? If thou wilt. He believed that what he was saying to Jesus was, I'm on my face, I've humbly come before you, I want to be clean, and guess what? I know you can. I know you can. If thou wilt, I know you can. Wow. That don't seem like a lot, though, does it? These few little words in these verses don't seem like a lot, but it's massive. And then, thou canst make me clean. Also in the if thou wilt, you know what else he was doing? Not only was he acknowledging that God could, but he was accepting whatever God gave to him. You ever prayed, if it's your will, God? David did a great sermon on this one time. David did an amazing sermon on this one time. You know, we all love to say, you know, we love to end a prayer, if it's your will, God. If it's your will. But in all reality, what do we really want to say? Right now, God, I ask for it. I need you to do it, okay? Because is everything we pray always in God's will? Maybe not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, okay? And he got that. This guy got that. He got that it was up to Jesus. He got that Jesus had the power to do it, but if it wasn't the right thing for Jesus to do, and it wasn't the right thing for that man to do, that Jesus would make that decision. If thou wilt. See, I'm one of those that when I pray, you know, I'm going to call it a teenage prayer, okay? I pray, God, I got this going on in my life. I need you to fix it. I know you can. I've read your word. You've done this before. There's nothing you can't do. I leave it with you. Amen. And I get up and I wait about 5 minutes. And if it don't happen, you know what I do? I'm going to my room then if you ain't going to answer me. You know, I give him one of those, you know. Well, I asked. You said you'd do it, you know. Well, maybe it wasn't the best thing for me at that moment, okay? This guy got it, though. He approached God the right way. We need to approach God that way. We need to seek God. We need to come humbly to God. We need to realize that God can do it. We need to realize and know that whatever God's will is great for us, but we need to believe that he can do it. And then the last thing is this. We've seen the condition of the man. We've seen the approach of the man with leprosy. Now, to close, let's look at the Savior. I wasn't going to leave you with all bad stuff, okay? Yes, it's a horrible condition. Yes, it took courage for that man to step out of his life and believe in Jesus and go to him and approach him, okay? But all that would be for naught if there wasn't somebody who could save him. But Jesus is the Savior. Let's go to verse 13. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Golly, can you imagine those last moments? Can you, and he summed up the courage to call for him, Jesus, Jesus, hey. He summed up the courage to call for him. He summed up the courage to approach him. But then there was one more thing he had to do. There's one more thing he had to do. That thing that diseased him in his life, that thing that he had, he had to go all the way. I imagine he was down there, and I imagine he's come this far, and he's in front of Jesus, And at this point, he's all in. He believes Jesus can do it, but he's still got to be cleansed. And I can imagine him reaching that hand out. Until Jesus touched it and cleansed him, he wasn't clean. He wasn't healed. He wasn't cured. And I can imagine him stretching forth that hand to the master. And I can imagine when Jesus touched him, bam, he was clean. What a feeling that must have been. What have you got today? If you got something, what have you got that's separating you from Jesus Christ? Are you here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Whoever's singing, come on. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you feel like an outcast? Is Jesus working on your heart, but you listen to the sermons and you hear the people around you that are Christians, but you don't understand what they're saying? Do you feel like an outcast? Are you separated from God because you've never came to Him and declared Him as Lord? Reach out your hand today. Are you willing? Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Reach out your hand today. Are you here today and God is the God of your salvation, but He's not really the God of your life? Then reach out your hand today. Then have the courage to get up out of your seat here in a minute. Or stay in your seat. I don't care. Turn around and pray. Get down on your knees right where you're at. Walk out in the hallway. Get down in the fellowship hall. Wherever you got to go. I don't care. You go and you find Jesus and you say, I don't want to be this way no more. I want to be in one accord with You. I want to see what You've got for my life. I believe You can make my life better. I believe that You've got what I need. Have you got an ailment today? Are you sick? Have you got someone sick you want to pray for? Have the courage to reach that hand out there and know that there's a Savior that will heal you. You all go.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.